This is Queer Music Heritage with J.D. Doyle and Holly Near.
This is a song that says, I ain't afraid of your Yahweh, I ain't afraid of your Allah, I ain't afraid of your Jesus, but I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. And it's kind of saying, yes, religion and culture is fabulous, it's wonderful, it's the glue that holds a lot of people together, but be careful. It's like that Dylan song with God on your side. If you start committing genocide and raping and pillaging under the name of your God, then that's religion run amok.
Welcome to Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I can hardly believe it, but this is my 10th anniversary show. I wanted to make it special, and I don't think I could have done any better than to bring you an interview with Holly Near. If you know anything at all about the women's music movement, then you know that Holly was one of the leading and earliest pioneers. And this show will just scratch the surface regarding her long career. A career that encompasses her work as a singer, producer, actor, author, activist, and teacher. There's a very interesting quote on her website that I think sums up well her approach to her art. She says, I do not separate my music from my heart, nor do I separate my ideas from my daily life. I open myself up to learning as much as I can about humanity and this mysterious life experience. But I do not relate to political work as a series of causes. Moment by moment, I integrate what I learn into my personal life, personalizing my politics. It is from this personal place that I write my songs. Well said. I started this show with a very outspoken song called I Ain't Afraid. That's from her CD called Edge from 2000. And when I asked her what songs she is most known for, that's one she mentioned right away. I want to interject that in 10 years, I've interviewed a lot of artists, and when I was editing this interview, I just marveled at how good her comments are. It was an editor's dream. I had to cut almost nothing, and it's all so good. I'm delighted to share this with you. As there was so much, the interview will be presented in two parts, with, as always, the first hour being presented as a part of Queer Voices on KPFT. And both parts can be heard on my site at www.queermusicheritage.com. With such a long career covering so many aspects, I decided I would just try to cover a number of her songs and to let them take us through the years and tell the story. so this will be roughly chronological. She started her own record label, Redwood Records, and released her first album in 1973. But I've got one song to play that precedes what we talked about, and she's probably going to visibly flinch when she finds out I'm playing this next song. It was done about 3 years earlier. Her professional career really started in 1969, when she got acting parts in several television shows and movies, and even on Broadway. That was in the cast of the musical Hair. In 1970, she was briefly a member of a comedy troupe called First National Nothing. Another well-known member of that cast was Barry Bostwick. To me, it's a bit hard to believe that Columbia Records released a soundtrack for that show, called If You Sit Real Still and Hold My Hand, You Will Hear Absolutely Nothing. On the record, Holly sings lead on two of the songs. This is probably the first time this song has been heard on the radio, and that's probably a good thing. But I love historical obscurities, so I can't resist sharing just a little bit of what is, as far as I know, her first recorded song. It's called On the Moon.
Aren't you kind of happy that we're here in the stars? When we're on the moon, when we're on the moon. Aren't you kind of happy that you're here in my arms? When we're on the moon, when we're on the moon. Like to look at the smile. Don't forget that I tried just to get you a while. Love to get you inside. Need you here by my side. I like to look at your smile. Don't forget that I tried.
Wop a wop a wop a wop.
You know what? There are two more verses, but I think you have the idea. And I'd rather get to the part where I get to ask Holly to discuss particular songs. The earliest one I asked her to talk about was the title track from her 1976 album, You Can Know All I Am.
When I was first writing songs, I had just come back from a trip in the Pacific to Okinawa, Japan, Hiroshima, Hawaii, where soldiers were resisting war and racism from within the military, and it was a huge education for me. I came back from that trip, and I started writing political songs. Very outspoken political songs, using words like genocide in a song, No More Genocide, talking about what was happening in the U.S. war against Indochina. So to counterbalance some of that, because I wanted people to know it was not just I was not just coming from a rhetorical place, but a personal place, I also tried to write some personal songs that when I was singing to the audience, that they would invite them in to me a little bit. And You Can Know All I Am was one of the songs where I tried to step outside of global political issues and sing something that was very personal and intimate.
You can know all I am. Share my life, take my giving. I can't change how I'm living, but you can know all I am. You can know all I am. Watch me grow.
Safe and dark inside.
my love, I am willing. I can't change how I'm living, but you can know all I am.
Please tell me about the song Imagine My Surprise.
When I first started working with women musicians in California predominantly, it was relatively new. I mean, we would try to go to this club, the Troubadour in Los Angeles. Chris Williamson and I tried, Wendy Waldman and I tried to do joint concerts there, and they said, oh, well, two women can't do a show together. It has to be like a male comic or guitar player. And we said, why? And they said, well, it'll be competitive, you know, like who would go first? And we would laugh and say, well, we'll figure that out. It's not competitive. So eventually, Chris Williamson and I finally got them to agree to let us do a joint concert. I mean, it's shocking now looking back. It was like a struggle. So I was working with these women, and Meg Christian and Margie Adam and Linda Tillery, and it was just slowly dawning on me, not only was I falling in love with women in general because of the feminist movement, I was falling in love with a particular woman, and this had not been part of my upbringing. I had not identified as a lesbian growing up, even secretly or privately. So Imagine My Surprise was kind of a way of not only saying I was in love with one woman, but that I was in love with women, that feminism had taken me out of this self-hating journey that so many of us were on, and celebrated that woman-loving. And the different verses tried to call on the discovery of who we are as women, both in a big universal way as well as very personally. And it was true. I was surprised, and that imagine my surprise, this was happening to me.
Imagine my surprise. I love that I found you, but I ache all over wanting to know your every dream. Imagine my surprise. Pirates off an eastern coast. glad you've been in my life. In my life. Imagine my surprise.
That other voice you heard on that song was the person she was talking about, Meg Christian. And I also asked about a song they wrote together called Nina.
When I began writing outspoken lesbian songs, I tried, because of my global work, because I was a global peace activist, I think my take on lesbian songs was slightly different than people who had come to their politics through their sexuality. And Nina was identifying, one, that not all lesbians were white and middle class, and second, that there were a group of women who had really struggled early on in the transitioning from totally being in the closet to being out. And women who had done that journey, it had been very painful to be in the, maybe in being married, being in relationships, but knowing you were in love with the woman next door, going to the bars, which were oftentimes owned by the mafia, being in the military and being hounded, all these different things. That transitionary generation really had taken some hits. But I wanted to give a nod to that and then also allow this mother to feel so much joy that because of the work she did and her generation did, her daughter was going to be able to love freely. And I think that song was very successful in that regard. It was it's a very sweet song.
I rode like a lady, except when alone. I wept for dead soldiers and burned all my journals. Oh, Nina, where does your heart take you today? To play with Negra and Rose and Maria. I sadly recall the friends of my childhood. My love. Dance with each other. I wore shiny stockings. I was led to the floor. I learned how to follow, but never got married. Oh, Nina. Laughter, your lovers, your courage to feel. I was never allowed to love Eloisa, yet you sleep so warm in the arms of your friends. But as I lie awake and hear your soft pleasure, my resentment fades and I shelter your love. For the outside world makes you cry all too often. Because of you, I too hold a woman tonight. Oh, Nina, where does your heart take you today? To play with Negra and Rose and Maria. You will sadly recall your pages of childhood. Women unborn will bear the fruit of your faith.
Up next is another of Holly's most powerful and most known songs, which is, I think, a celebratory anthem. It also first appeared in 1976 on the Imagine My Surprise album, and is called Something About the Women.
The women's movement, the feminist movement, and which was also very closely linked to the lesbian feminist movement, we were trying to investigate all the things that affect women's lives. And as a result of that, we learned about disability. We learned about alcoholism and drug abuse in our community. We learned about spirituality and religion. We learned, you know, all racism, the things that go on the world on a global level, all, of course, affect women. So at first, it was this kind of enthusiasm coming out of the predominantly white middle-class women's movement about this new feminism. But those of us who had worked in world politics very quickly realized that to have a powerful feminist women's movement, we would need to expand to be a global movement and have a global consciousness. So that song came out of wanting to create a song that where different verses could be added again and again and again about the various things that affect women's lives, always coming back to the refrain, there's something about the women in our lives.
One woman weaves a message, singing the sounds of silence. Another wheels her chair to the center of the stage, changing minds and attitudes, eyes that hear and hands that see. These women working, living independently. I look to you for courage.
I'm going to chime in that if you ask me to suggest just one album by Holly for you to buy, for me, as a champion of women's music, I would have to pick a double CD from 2000 called Simply Love. It's subtitled The Women's Music Collection and includes many of the songs I ask Holly to talk about. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more Very Queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Over the years, Holly has sung and recorded frequently with Ronnie Gilbert, and that included an album in 1983 called Lifeline. Holly captured every element I hoped she would when I asked her about the song Perfect Night.
Perfect Night is kind of a nod to the transition of the sort of dark, deep, secretive gay bar scene that men and women, and women in particular, had to suffer in the 50s and 60s before there was a lesbian movement, before there was a feminist movement. And there was role-playing, and you had to sort of pick whether you were going to be butch or femme. There was a kind of danger. Some of the clubs were owned by the mafia. If women from the military were there, oftentimes there were raids, and they had to be snuck out the back. I mean, it was quite a traumatic time. So this song was kind of a breakout from that to really say we're out, we're in public, we're having a perfect night together, and there's not shame attached to it, and there's not fear.
The woman is dressed in style tonight. She's got a three-piece suit and a tie tonight. Glow on her face in spite of her look of amusement, and she will dine with her true love, taking a bar or two, and nothing short of a perfect night will do. The gal is dressed for work tonight. She's got dusty jeans and some boots tonight. There's a lover's look on her face in spite of of her farming intentions, and she will plant with her true love. Take a break in the barn, maybe two, and nothing short of a perfect night will do. The jock is dressed in wool tonight. She's got a baseball glove, a cap tonight. There's a competitive look in her eye in spite of her generous heart, and she'll play ball with her true love, taking a home run or two, and nothing short of a perfect night will do. All the rules have been broken. They're not talking about the weather. A gentleman asks, are you ladies alone? They smile and say, no, we're together. The lady is dressed in silk tonight. She's got a glittering gown, a star tonight. There's a sequin on her cheek in spite of her sparkling eyes. And she will dance with her true love, put on a show or two, and nothing short of a perfect night. Nothing short of a perfect night. When the gals are out, don't you know that it's true? Nothing short of a perfect night will do.
It was once only dining and dancing, evening kisses, morning smiles, and then you said, let's go off together, alone for a while, and I loved you at first for your wicked eyes. And the passions that I've never known. My love was love of the moment, of the strangeness, the thrill. But moments deny tomorrow, and yet I love you still. Well, it seems like so little was spoken about ending the games. We just kept waking up,
kept waking
still together,
up together,
and feeling change. And I love you for facing my crazy eyes and using your strength to build mine and learning compassion and growing more mellow and kind. So long, I'd forgotten what I had waited for. Now in our balance, I've learned to uncover all I wanted and more. Yes, we bargained for doubtful tomorrows, but our past each day and more and more. I cannot see me going away. We're happy now.
last here for our taking.
Resting easy, feeling strong,
as I delight in this life we are making. I sing you this Valentine song.
Please tell me about Valentine's song. I'm looking at the Chris and Holly album in that regard.
Meg Christian wrote a beautiful love song called Valentine's Song, and she, you know, she was part of the really early women's music when there was a period of time where women were writing songs that were or singing them that were coded. Like she might be in a club, you know, a little club in Washington, singing "Sherry Baby," and having to pick songs out of pop and rock music that would suggest that she was woman identified, but wouldn't really come out because it was still too dangerous. But when that transition happened and she could, with the support of the newly developed women's movement and lesbian movement, could actually start writing, love songs to women, I just think this was a spectacular, first song out there that she wrote. It's very, very beautiful. In fact, I remember when we were doing the California tour with Meg and Chris and Margie and myself, one of the cities we did, was a women's prison, because we wanted to do one show inside because those women couldn't come out to the concert. So when Meg sang that, I was standing in the wings, and one of the prison guards, a woman, was standing there, and I said, oh my God, when she sings this, they're going to kick us out. You know, it's going to be the end of it. And instead, the guard was sitting there swaying, and she said, oh, the girls are going to love this one. Just like, whoa, okay. And it was just a beautiful moment. So when Chris and I decided to do a recording together, we just couldn't resist singing Valentine's songs.
Holly Near and Chris Williamson, and from their duets album from 2000 called Chris and Holly, that was Valentine's Song. That song was written and sung by Mae Christian in 1974 on her album I Know You Know, the first album released on the Olivia Records label. Another very prominent song of Holly's is Simply Love. It's been recorded by many gay and lesbian choruses, and it's one of my favorites. She released it on her 1984 album, Singing With You, the song Simply Love.
When I was traveling around the country and the world, I saw how much fear there was around issues of gay and lesbian lifestyle and culture. And people, see, I was raised in a family that said, go for fascination before you go for fear. See if there's a way to just go, wow, huh, you live on the planet too. So that was and because of the records, if you remember records, we had so many records in our house on our farm that came from different parts of the world. And it really helped us open our hearts up to all the diversity of this species, this animal that we are. But I would see around gay issues, because I worked in the global peace movement, and I would just see fear, and misunderstanding and mistrust. And so I wanted to write a song that spoke to people who were still being oppressed by their fear, to say to them, it's simply love. It's simply love. And I used that song to sing in places where the gay and lesbian movement had not yet made inroads. And it was sometimes very frightening to sing the song, but it was a great handle for me. It was a way to talk about this, to sing it to people, and hope that the song would invite them through some of their trauma so that they could move to being more conscious and loving and tolerant people.
Why does my love make you shift restless in your chair and leave you in despair? It's simply love. It's simply my love for a woman. Thank you. It's a simple hand on a warm face to say a glance to see if love is still okay. A glow at dawn when love is still there. Tears and strong arms at the end of the day. And simply love, simply my love for a woman. It's the laughter as the kids clown and tease our weary thoughts away. It's looking round the table and knowing our hard work fed us one more day. And simply love, simply my love for a woman. Why does my love make you shift in your chair? It's the bombs across the border that should make you tear your hair. And yet it's my love leaves you screaming out your nightmare. Perhaps you know there's something you should fear. If my love makes me strong and makes you disappear, it's simply love, simply my love for a woman.
I want to chime in that picking what songs to cover and also what to put in this first hour was very difficult. We're talking about a career starting about 40 years ago, covering 27 albums and appearances on a number of albums by other artists. She was very gracious to allow me to ask her about 25 different songs. Covering many of the highlights on this segment certainly does not take away from the other interesting stories, so I hope you also listen to part 2 on my site. I had no trouble, however, in wanting to include one of her latest recordings, a new song inspired by recent politics. It's called When We Meet in the Middle.
Recently in California, as many people know, there was a huge financial and political attack on gay marriage in San Francisco, which had been such a joyful and fun and wonderful thing. And all of a sudden, it was just like they turned all the guns towards California. And in the process, the right to marry in California was attacked and ultimately lost. So there will be more legal and electoral responses to this for sure. But while that was happening, there was going to be a big march taking place in Fresno. And in California geography, Fresno is in the middle of the state, so that people from Los Angeles and San Francisco could converge, as well as people from all the other parts of the state. And they decided to have it there, and they were calling it Meet in the Middle. So I wrote a song for that event. But the whole idea was a sort of twofold. One, Meet in the Middle geography for all the activists, and the other is around any subject that is complex. Is there a way for progressive communities to come together, and even if they're not in agreement on all things, they can in some way find a way to meet in the middle around issues of race and gender, sexuality, class, around immigration, all the things that we should be taking to heart? How can we find some common ground and look at all these issues together rather than as separate? You know, there was a time, I think, in the 60s and early 70s where a kind of separatism was important because, and almost every social change group has it, whether it's the deaf community, the African-American community, the lesbian community, when you're trying to figure out who you are, you sometimes have to separate long enough to get someone's foot off your neck and say, okay, how can I think clearly without feeling so oppressed? But once that clear thinking comes in, to me, we go back into the middle. We don't stay out in a separatist place. That maturity takes us back into a state of coalition with other people. And if gay people who are working on gay marriage only stay working on gay marriage, then they're ignoring the fact that there are gay people in the black community, in the Middle East community, in the disabled community, that you have to go and be part I mean, gay people are not just in a gay movement. We are everywhere around the world. So it leads me to feel like the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, queer community will do much better if we can have a global perspective and invite people from all walks of life into our movement. And when I say our, I mean, the fact is I'm not a lesbian in my life right now. But I think of it as our because I think of anti-racism as our, and I'm a white person. I think of stopping abuses against disabled people as ours, and I'm not disabled. I have joined a global community that is ours. And so Meet in the Middle was trying to speak to that.
No group can make it if you go it alone. We're building the changes stone by stone. Not in agreement on all things of the heart, but when we meet in the middle, it's a powerful start. Let's hold up the spirit across the board, not just for those who can afford to advertise their hate and fear. But no matter what they do, our love is still here. No group can make it if they go it alone. We're building the changes stone by stone. Not in agreement on all things of the heart, but when we meet in the middle, it's a powerful start. Love is love, and hate is hate, and on that point there is no debate. Don't ask, don't tell is the great pretender. Elvis sang it right, he said, a love be tender. No group can make it if they go it alone. We're building the changes stone by stone. Not in agreement on all things of the heart, but when we meet in the middle, it's a powerful start.
Some have been couples for 50 years,
raising up
children in spite of the fear. Time to lift the veil of that right-wing shame. Equality in marriage and in freedom's name. No breaking windows, no burning down parks. That's not where this fire sparks. Hanging in there can be a heavy load. From slavery to White House is a long, long road.
No group can make it if they go it alone. We're building the changes stone by stone. Not in agreement on all things of the heart, but when we meet in the middle, it's a powerful start. No group can make it if they go it alone. We're building the changes stone by stone. Not in agreement on all things of the heart, but when we meet in the middle, it's a powerful start. When we meet in the middle, it's a powerful start.
Again, that was When We Meet in the Middle, which you can download for free on her website, www.hollynear.com. And while this next question was the last one I asked Holly, I loved her reply, so wanted to share it with you in this first segment. Is there any question I should have asked you that I haven't?
Oh, probably. When one has worked as long as I have in this movement, I mean, I started singing when I was 8 years old, and then I went to UCLA, and then I got into film and television, and then I started doing social change activist work. And so I would say I've been singing in public for 52 years, 60 now, and one accumulates so many experiences over that time that in any interview, there's always lots that will get left out. But that's okay. It's been an extraordinary life, and I would say to any of the young people listening that activism needs to be demystified. One doesn't have to chain oneself to the gate at the White House to be called an activist. It is the way we get up every morning the way we treat our loved ones, the way we look at the people in our workplace, do we honor them and respect them? How do we respond if we're at a party and we hear a racist joke? Do we do intervention? In walking down the street and we see a sad teenager, do we look them in the eye and say hello? Activism is how we get up every morning. And the music that I am part of and that hundreds of social change activist artists around the world are part of is trying to identify what is unique and special about our lives as well as what is universally applied, so that we can document this extraordinary experiment of being on this planet. It's the only planet we know of that has life on it like this, and we get to be here. And to be an artist in this time is a great honor as well as a huge challenge.
We're down to the last song for this part, and I want to thank you all for listening and helping me to celebrate my 10th anniversary show. And of course, I especially want to thank Holly Neer for making this month's show extra special. Again, there's much more to the interview on my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. And please check out my new show called Out Radio. It celebrates new music by GLBT artists and is at www.outradio.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. The last song is called Singing for Our Lives, and it's one of Holly's most loved songs, and it's taken on anthem qualities. She's recorded it a number of times, but I chose a version taken from her 1983 album, Lifelines, which captured a concert she did with Ronnie Gilbert.
I wrote Singing for Our Lives after Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone were assassinated in San Francisco. And I can remember it being sung at many events, but the thing that always moved me so was these people would put up their lighters, their candles, and there were people in the street singing this song, the first verse of which is, "We are gay and lesbian people," were saying those names about themselves for the first time. They were being very brave and coming forward and trying to take the rage and the hurt of the city as a result of Harvey being killed, trying to take that anger and direct it towards a social change movement so that something could be built rather than something destroyed. And the song flew out around the world. People kept adding verses. The Irish and English women sang it when they were trying to work for peace in Ireland and England, and it was sung in a prison in Latin America. I keep hearing all these stories of where the song had traveled. And so allies began to change the verse to, "We are gay and straight together." And eventually the song made it into the Unitarian hymnal. So it's become kind of a peace anthem, a gay and lesbian anthem, and an anthem that allies and gay people can sing together. In fact, oftentimes in the concerts when I start to sing that song, people stand and take hands and sing it together as a real glue in their community, which is very moving to me. Eventually we learned a lot more about sexuality, so now I can't fit all the different identities that we have into the meter of the song. It's just impossible. Transgender and queer and questioning. And so now I've added a verse that says, "We are all in this together, singing for our lives."